I could probably sell more of it if I had time to actually get it picked and processed into the people. But it's a high interest there and demand. So, I mean, it's a good money maker.
In this episode of Voices from the Field, Candy Williams of the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff's Small Farms program talks with Arkansas farmer Michael Hennigan about his farming heritage and some of his methods to reach markets that others don't by wildcrafting local herbs and plants, including mullein and poke salad. Candy also works with the Silas H. Hunt Community Development Corporation, which partnered in producing this podcast. This podcast was also produced by the National Center for Appropriate Technology through the ATRA Sustainable Agriculture Program under a cooperative agreement with USDA Rural Development. This podcast was also made possible in part by funding from the Southern Risk Management Education Center, USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture, through the University of Arkansas. Let's listen.
Hello, my name is Candy Williams, and I work for the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. I service small-scale producers in southwest Arkansas, and I service 8 counties in the southern region. Today, I have the privilege of talking to one of our small-scale producers, Mr. Hennigan. Mr. Hennigan, thank you for joining us today, and could you please tell us about yourself and how you got into farming?
Okay, my name is Michael Hennigan. Both of my grandparents was farmers. My dad was a farmer. Of course, I ended up attending college and got a degree in agriculture education. But I always farmed part-time on the side with my dad and family. Say I started when I was probably 6 or 7 years old out in the field with my dad. And just been farming ever since.
And what are some of the marketing challenges that you see?
Of course, I'm small scale, so I don't have a whole lot of problems selling what little I do produce. I usually don't produce enough for the people that want what I have. So. But I guess the biggest challenge would be maybe if I was had enough produce, big enough, actually getting it to the people when they want it or need it.
Are you growing the same products or crops as your parents?
I grow some of the same crops that they grew. Pretty much some of the same crops, yeah.
Could you identify some of the crops that you're growing?
I guess my probably number one focus would be watermelons and purple hull peas. But I also grow some other vegetables like turnip greens, mustard greens, collard greens, and tomatoes and okra, squash, cucumbers, a few sweet potatoes. This year, we used to grow peanuts a lot. And this year, for the first time in several years, I have just a small spot of peanuts. Those are the main crops that I pretty much grow.
And do you have neighbors that grow?
We used to. Right now in this immediate area where I am, of course my brother do a little bit of gardening also, but it's one other person, like a couple miles down the road, and he just basically, I mean, he really small scale, but he do have a pretty nice garden. But other than that, it's nobody what I would call in this immediate area that's even farming, not on the produce side.
And we had the opportunity to tour your farm. Actually, it was in October, I believe, of last year. And you had some other crops, or I guess herbs, that we saw while out in the fields. Do you happen to sell or market those goods, such as mullein and poke salad?
Yes, the poke salad is really kind of high-demand market item. A lot of older people, a lot of younger people don't know what it is, don't know about it, I guess. But, yeah, I have several people or customers that they, of course, it's pretty much a seasonal item. And so they'll start calling me, asking me, is the poke salad ready? Is it time for the poke salad? And then they'll start putting in their orders whenever, get ready. I need so many, and I usually bunch it up like you see greens in the store. I bunch it up and sell it by the bunches, but yeah, I sell quite a bit of poke salad. And the melon is getting to be a high demand. But both of those herbs actually on my farm, or our farm in the area, grow pretty much. It's self-maintained. It grows in the wild. It just sprouts up in the spring and the fall, and it just grow out in the pastures and the fields, and we just pretty much go out and harvest it. But yeah, it's a high demand and people looking for it.
And how did you decide to grow something different? Or why did you decide to sell the mullein and other poke salad?
My grandparents and parents have been in this business ever since I can remember. And so when I was young, I remember going out with my grandmother and we'd go picking poke salad, and she would, of course, cook it. But we wasn't into selling it at that time because I guess everybody then knew what it was. It was a popular item. I don't know. But anyway, but over the last few years, and a lot of people like to cook it with greens and stuff like that. So the people mainly that bought greens from me, they would then ask, do you happen to have any poke salad, or can you get poke salad? So that's how I ended up getting into the poke salad business, because people started asking. Pretty much the same customers buying other vegetables would ask if you had poke salad. And so I saw that there was a demand for it, so we just start picking it and selling it also. And then the melon, again, I could go back when I was a kid, and I hadn't saw anybody this lately, but I remember the ladies, older ladies, would come here to get melon from my grandmother, and some, they did something with it, like for hair, to do their hair. I don't remember if they washed their hair or they used it to straighten their hair or whatever, but then I also learned that they could use it for respiratory reasons, and I think I was already in college for teaching when I found out really the benefits of melon as a respiratory aid, and so I started using it myself, and from that, of course, passed the word on to other people, and then family members and other folks just started wanting melon also, and they found out the benefits of it, what it would do and what it was good for, so that's how I ended up doing the poke salad and the melon.
So do you actually take the time to dry it out, or do you just sell it once it's picked?
The melon.
Yes. Do you try any value-added
practices? I have, basically, you know, pretty much whatever the person demand or want. But I have sold it fresh just fresh. Some people, and I learned this and I've never tried, I keep saying I'm going to try it. Some people take the melon fresh and they say they just freeze it, just put it in the freezer and freeze it. And when they need it, they just take it out and of course, boil it or consume it like they want to. But I've never done the freezer fresh. But some of the people want it fresh and they just freeze it. And some people, I usually dry mine and just maintain it like that. But it's some people want it, some people want it fresh, some want it dry. So I've done both ways.
How has producing these crops that other people aren't producing it improved your market, your income?
It's improved it a lot. Like I say, with my, I guess, limited help and aid to get some of this stuff done, I could probably sell more of it if I had time to actually get it picked and processed into the people. But it's a high interest there and demand. So, I mean, it's a good moneymaker.
Yes, I think we've even spoke of you expanding the mullein and growing more of it over time.
Don't have time to stay up to date on the freshest sustainable agriculture news, events, and funding opportunities? You can trust NCAP to keep you connected with our weekly Harvest e-newsletter. Subscribe today at ncat.org and get your weekly harvest delivered each Wednesday.
Okay, Mr. Hennigan, I'd like for you to explain more about how you grow and process your mullein.
Okay, as I was saying earlier, most people don't know that mullein is a seasonal crop. It's a cool season crop. It grows best like in the fall. It'll come out and really strive during the fall and winter months. And then when it gets really warm, like in the May, first, middle part of June, it'll die out. So when I first started doing this, an older lady, which was a distant cousin of mine, she told me how she would just take hers and hang it. And I don't know if any, but how they do, kind of like how they hang tobacco. and just let it dry out. And so that's what I learned. After it was a seasonal crop, you're going to have to figure out, because like in the middle of the summer, if you need it, you can't just go out and get fresh melon. So that's what made me start drying it for myself. And then, you know, let other people know that you could dry it. So, because in the middle of summer, you won't be able to find fresh melon. But one of my aunts, I think, actually live in Kansas City, she came down and she was telling us, that's the first person I'd heard say she'd take hers and she just put it in the freezer fresh. And it worked for her, but I've never tried it fresh like that. But that's what got me into drying it, because I knew, you know, if you don't want to rot, you got to have somewhere to preserve it, so, and you can't get it in the middle of the summer.
And is the same true for poke salad?
Not the same truth, but it is a seasonal crop also. Poke salad, of course, people want it fresh like they do, you know, turnip greens and mushrooms and all that, so you can't dry it. I guess you could, well, you know, you can't dry it like that, but some of my customers do get it in bulk, and they, my understanding, I don't eat a lot of poke salad, but my understanding, they take it and cook it, and then they just freeze it, but it is a seasonal crop also. It comes up like in the early spring, like it'll come up, I'm gonna say like the middle part of April, and it'll strive from April to about the end of May. And then the end of May, it'll go to what we call seed. And when it go to seed, and I hadn't experienced this, but some of the older people would say once it go to seed, you can no longer use it. So, but it's about the middle of April to about the end of May. So that's the only time you can pretty much find it.
And I found it interesting that you spoke of peanuts this year. How did you do in selling your peanuts? I know that's really not grown in our area. Not on a large level anyway.
Actually, I just planted them. This year was my first time in years, but when I was a kid, we always grew peanuts. But this is my first time growing peanuts in a while. So I just planted them, basically just a few, just to see how they was going to do. And I don't even have enough to market. Hopefully I have enough for me to eat some, but I didn't plan on a big scale. But when we were raising them, when I was a kid and coming up, we didn't have a big scale then, but we had more than we could eat, and of course we would sell some. So it was a high demand for peanuts back then. And I'm sure it still is, because I'm gonna say this, because last year, and the only place in this area is the local farm store in Hope. And the peanut that most people want in this area is a Spanish peanut. It's the small Spanish peanut. And last year they didn't have any in Hope because they said something about it got so wet and they couldn't get about the ground or something, but it wasn't any in the stores and people were looking for them. And that's kind of what drove me to plant my own this year, because nobody had them. So it's a high demand for peanuts in this area, the Spanish peanuts mostly.
Please keep us posted on whether or not you're going to continue to grow more peanuts next season. Are there any other specialty markets that you're looking into growing for next spring?
Can I go back to peanuts for just
a
second?
Yes, please.
The peanuts, and that's something I know up in northeast Arkansas, I think, they grow them on a large scale. And talking to my dad years past, they used to grow them pretty large scale in this area. But we never had actually a good way to harvest them. The only way we had, we basically took the plow and plowed them up, and we put them up out the ground, and we put them in the barn, and we put them around a pole, what we call shocking them. And then we had to get them off the vines. We had to hand pick them, and that was a nightmare to me. But that was something we did every day after we got out of school until we got them all done. So that would be, I would need to look into a way to harvest those peanuts other than picking them by hand.
Yes. Do you know how much you would grow next year as far as acreage, half an acre? A quarter of an acre?
I don't know. I'll just have to see how this going and what come out with it.
Okay. Are there any other specialty markets or crops that you're looking at planting next season?
I can't think of any at the moment. I'll say this, and it's not I wouldn't call it a specialty, but this past year I had a demand for, and I didn't realize it was that big a demand for that again, but for cantaloupe, I had a guy that said he would buy all the cantaloupe that I could grow. and he could market them for me. But I hadn't looked at any other specialty crops, no.
Before we end this session, could you tell me, how do you market your crops?
I can say pretty much, I guess, as small as I am, and we've been here forever. People usually just call me, look for me. They'll come here and buy them, or I'll take them to the local town, to the whole Prescott area.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hennigan. You did a great job answering the questions. If you don't have any other comments, I guess we will end this session for today.
All right, thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Additional information about this episode and related resources can be found at atra.incat.org. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Voices from the Field wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Rich Myers. ATRA, Voices from the Field, is produced by the National Center for Appropriate Technology, headquartered in Butte, Montana. It's supported by the USDA Rural Business Cooperative Service as part of NCAT's ATRA Sustainable Agriculture Program. Any opinions, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this recording are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDA or NCAT. We'll catch you again next week, and until then, keep on farming.